You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Her Money is proudly sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. When you think about retirement, do you have a strategy to help your money last as long as you do? That is the biggest fear by far for women. To help make sure you're ready for the future, schedule your complimentary wealth checkup at planefe.com/hermoney.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ambition for women is a good thing. It's clearly something driving and motivating a lot of women out there right now. And at the very least, if you don't feel comfortable acknowledging it to others, acknowledge it to yourself. That's probably the most important thing, right?
Hey everyone, I'm Jean Chatsky. Thank you so much for joining me today on Her Money, Navigating a Career. Yeah, it can be difficult, especially in today's landscape where the state of the job market seems to be constantly in flux. While the aftermath of the pandemic caused huge numbers of people, particularly huge numbers of women, to quit their jobs in search of better wages or more work-life balance, those numbers seem to be cooling a bit. Just last week, Business Insider declared, quitting your job isn't cool anymore. And they cited the big stay in the U.S. labor market with the number of people quitting their jobs back to where it was before the pandemic. And so the message is, if you are one of those people choosing to stay put this year, you're probably thinking about a way to do it while still getting something out of the equation, maybe moving up the ladder. According to a recent CNBC poll, nearly half of women, 48%, describe themselves as very ambitious when it comes to their careers, and ambition among women of color is even higher. Not only that, women, especially younger Gen Z women, are redefining what success means to them. They're turning their passions into side hustles or taking jobs that give them far more work-life balance and flexibility outside of work. Gen Z doesn't dream of finding the perfect job working for someone else. I'm excited to hear that 50% of Gen Z aspires to become an entrepreneur, start something of their own. My guests today, Grace Puma and Christiana Smith-Shee, are here to talk about how to map out a long-range career path that leads to success, no matter what that success looks like for you. They got a new book out. It's called Career Forward: Strategies by Women Who've Made It, and they share their experience from decades of reaching the top of Fortune 500 companies. Grace is the former executive VP and COO of PepsiCo. She's been ranked on the most powerful Latinas list by Fortune magazine, and Christiana is the former president of Nike's Consumer Direct division, where she led the company's global retail and e-commerce business, and along the way sold me many pairs of running shoes. One quick announcement before we jump in. We love you all. We love our audience. We love our Her Money community, and we want to thank everybody who's taken a sec to review our show. One of our listeners recently wrote, "We love that this podcast is made for women by women. Jean gives great advice that is comprehensive and eye-opening." Thank you for that. But if you haven't reviewed us, take a sec. Please write us a review on Apple Podcasts. People really do look at these things, so they make a difference. Grace and Christiana, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jean.
So let me start with you, Christiana. Tell me about your meet cute story. How'd you get together? How'd you decide to write this book together?
Well, Grace and I didn't know each other until we landed on the same corporate board on the same day. And you know how it is when you're the new kids on the block, you're kind of checking everybody out. And I was immediately impressed with Grace's gravitas. When she talked, people listened. She knew her stuff. She's got a deep background in operations. And it was clear to me that she was somebody I could learn from. But then over time, you know, much more of an affinity group, because I think Grace is also one of the funniest people I know and one of the wisest people. So we started to gradually circle around maybe being friends and kind of crystallized it one time after a meeting. When we were in San Francisco, we went to a bar on Fisherman's Wharf and we sat there and had peach Bellinis. And I would say that was it. The friendship was sealed at that point. Now, moving from that point to deciding to write a book, I'm going to let Grace talk about that because I think she was actually the nudge that got us to that.
I love that it was over a peach Bellini that you decided that you guys were going to be friends for life. I think we can all relate to that story, Christiana. I met my best friend for life in a meeting of beat reporters at the school newspaper where we were both new kids on the block, and we've been thick as thieves ever since. Grace, why now? Why a book?
You know, I think we were both at a point where we were reflecting on the fact that actually, as usual, it comes down to your family first, right? We both have millennial, can't call them children, but they are children, that are grown adults and at critical points of their career and really all embracing their ambitions for what they want to achieve. And we were having a discussion around how we wanted to make sure that we were able to share our learnings and our experiences with them. And then it really birthed into something much broader. We wanted to give back and we wanted to make sure that we contributed to the success of many women coming up behind us. So that was really at the center.
You point out that the great resignation and the number of women who stepped back during the pandemic made this feel even more urgent. I keep a file of statistics on the gender wage gap and wealth gap. And I remember reading the research from Northwestern University that basically pointed out that this great resignation, which had taken so many women out of the workforce, had set us back an additional 20 years when we were already back on our heels to begin with. What was it about that moment in time that made you, Grace, say, we just can't sit still?
Well, we think that there's obviously, it's super important for women to be able to be engaged in the workforce. And our book is really about them embracing their ambitions and really understanding that by thinking strategically about your career and being able to be planful about your career and your capabilities, you can really have this tremendous experience in life. It's a full life. And so we wanted to encourage people to think through their own ambitions, own them, and be able to chart a path to achieve them.
Just to add to that, because of things that were happening, like the great resignation, followed by quiet quitting, followed by lazy girl jobs, the other thing that really struck me and Grace was you've got to take a much longer view of your career than right now. And the great resignation, as you already noted, is not going to continue. And quiet quitting is not going to continue. And if you're running your career based on moments in time and making these decisions in a very short-term way, we think you look back and find out that you didn't really progress the way that you wanted to. Regardless of what progress looks like to you, that's the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, embedded in the title of this book, Career Forward, that, and you point this out, that if you are just chasing the next job title, if you're just focused on the salary bump that is 6 months away, in many ways, you miss that overall big picture. And yet, like you, Grace, I've got kids in their 20s, almost 30, and we have a lot of conversations about that next salary bump and that next title. So how do you get yourself out of that mindset, particularly if you're a young person who really is budgeting very tightly because the money hasn't come through yet, and you just know that that additional $10,000 is going to make all the difference in the world? How do you get yourself to focus on the bigger picture?
I'll talk about it in two pieces. One is making sure you're paid a fair wage and competitively. So making sure, and that's really important because one of the things it does is it allows you to be set up, especially women, out of the get-go. You can't catch up. Statistics will show you can't catch up if you don't get a competitive wage early in your career and then maintain that. So we talk about strategies in the book on how to make sure that you're paid competitively and how to handle situations to drive those conversations for the right salary. But if you put that aside, I think it's always going to be, especially as you're starting out, it's always going to be very attractive to be able to start earning a living and earning a good living. But what we really need to think through is your longer career path. And we talk a little bit about this concept of cardinal direction. So when you get clear about a cardinal direction and you think about all of the things that go into defining what your aspirations look like over the journey of your career, and it will be fluid. You learn things, you experiment, your path shapes where you want to go. But really thinking through, what is it? What are your passions? What are your strong capabilities? What type of environment do you want to work in? And be clear about setting that cardinal direction that ultimately allows you to be that North Star, if you would, on making decisions around jobs and salary moves. That is more strategic than just chasing the money or a title.
You have an exercise that actually helps people do this, find their cardinal direction by essentially self-evaluating in four areas. You talk about environment, subject matter, passion, and purpose. Can you lay out a little bit more about how we actually do this exercise? I know my listeners really like tactics.
Yeah. So for that reason, I think we tried to pepper a lot of these kind of self-evaluations throughout the book because we wanted to give people a chance to reflect on themselves. As we keep saying, this is about your career path. This is about your long-term cardinal direction. The first thing we say is if you're just starting out, if you're in your early 20s, just get a job. That's how you'll start to figure out what you want and what your cardinal direction looks like, by working. And you know, both Grace and I can talk about how when we got our first jobs, they weren't necessarily dream jobs. They weren't necessarily life goal jobs. We just needed to pay our student loans. But as you're working, apply some critical thinking to it. Think about the environment you're in. Are you excited about going in every day? Do you look forward to talking to the people that you meet in the course of the job you currently have? Do you feel challenged? Do you kind of come home at night sometimes thinking, whoa, I learned something? Those are the things we want you to actually make note of. And over time, once you've accumulated some experience, then sit down and go through those four things, right? What have I learned about the environment? What have I learned about the kind of passion that's driving me, by the way? Because you get a little older, you start to figure out what you want to do in the world. And then do I have a purpose for the things that I'm trying to achieve? Because whatever that is, if I'm not motivated at work every day, eventually I will stop performing well and the gravity, the pull of gravity will bring me down. So I think we say build the experience initially. That's your first kind of laboratory. And then over time, start asking yourself these questions on a regular basis and keep track of how your thinking is evolving. Because the other thing we notice, your cardinal direction is not fixed. That's why we use that word instead of North Star, because the North Star doesn't move in the sky. That's how you navigate. Okay, great. That's not realistic for your career, because even for your kids or our kids, what they want in their 20s versus their 30s will evolve. It may just enrich. It may grow. Their aspirations may expand because they realize they're better than they even gave themselves credit for. So we call it cardinal direction so that you can note that and you can evolve it over time.
And to your point, Jean, about tools, one of the tools is this SOAR concept, S-O-A-R. And the SOAR is a tool that starts with how do you look at your strengths? And it's not just revalidating your capabilities today, but also thinking about, are there new ones that I need to develop to achieve where I want to go? And then the O is around looking for emerging areas of opportunities and thinking through how you go after those. Could be things like continuous education, or it could be opportunities like, gee, you know, my aspirations would mean I need to start doing something in more of a global type of an environment. So it's thinking through opportunities. And then it's actions, being very clear on a regular basis, what actions can I take to go achieve that and capture those opportunities. And the last, and I think in any situation, you need to think about risks. And risks could be pitfalls on the horizon. They can be environmental changes. They're anything that could potentially inhibit you from achieving that cardinal direction goal. And we suggest that self-reflection and that self-analysis of where you are and where you're going will help you stay on track.
I want to come back to something, Christiana, that you mentioned earlier, which is ambition. Ambition is, for women, a very complicated word. For men, great, have all the ambition in the world. For women, you say you're ambitious and sometimes people look at you like you have three heads, right? Like it's okay to be ambitious. It may not be okay to say it out loud. Where do you fall with ambition and how do you think women today should navigate this road?
Yeah, we call it the A word, Jean, because it's almost like an it shall not be mentioned kind of thing for women, right? And what was striking to us is when we talked to our friends, so many of them said the same thing, which is, I didn't acknowledge my own ambition early in my career, and it was because I didn't think it was okay or cool or if it would be received well, and I wish I had. And so where we land is ambition for women is a good thing. It's clearly something driving and motivating a lot of women out there right now. And at the very least, if you don't feel comfortable acknowledging it to others, acknowledge it to yourself. That's probably the most important thing, right? Is acknowledge to yourself that you want to get somewhere, that you have bigger ideas, that you want a bigger life, however you want to express that ambition. At the very least, write it down and get yourself to commit. That's actually important to you. I think over time too, more of us, especially that got to where Grace and I did, more of us talking about how ambition fueled us also will help, because it'll help make it okay for others coming behind us to acknowledge that's part of what they want.
Yeah, it's one of those things, the more we talk about it, the more we bring it into the open, the better the picture will get for younger women. How do you square that, Grace, with the just get a job, just keep working, keep your eyes focused on the long term, and the increased desires that we've seen from young women to have a little more balance than perhaps we had? Some want to step out, raise kids, step back in. That was a very, very difficult path for women our age. Some want to stay in, but maybe dial it back a little bit. Some don't want to dial it back at all, but want to try to find other solutions so that they can maybe have a partner who is home or find adequate and not insanely priced childcare solutions. How do we have our cake and eat it too? Because it's the only cliche that I can think of at the moment.
It's interesting because we talk about this concept, which we really believe in, which is a 360-degree life. And it's, if you think about all the conversations we've all had, and they're still happening today about work-life balance. And we actually think that's a pretty stale concept. And I don't think anybody's ever achieved it because of the expectations around how to think about that. So when you think about, okay, what's different? We think about a 360-degree life. It's around really understanding and embracing the totality of who you are and what you want to achieve and integrating your personal life and your professional life as one, meaning that you're very intentional of what you're focusing on and what you want to achieve, and that you're basically thinking through not the trade-offs, but how to make and build in support and flexibility to achieve those. It ends up you have a much more holistic view of yourself, and you're much more able to achieve what we call a big life or a full life by having that kind of a mindset.
And when you're thinking of this full life and of this big life, how many years out into the future are you actually envisioning or charting?
You know, it's an interesting question because it's not about a destination in our mind of at a certain point in your career. It's at every stage of your life. Your personal and your professional needs and aspirations will continue to evolve. So at different stages of your life. So being conscious about how you integrate that, and not at trade-offs, but how you integrate that into your life happens successfully at every stage of your life. So that's how we think about it. You don't put it off and get to it at the end of your career.
We're going to talk about the benefits that come when you reframe your career in this way. But before we do that, we're going to take a very quick break. Her Money is proudly sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. Whether your retirement is a few decades away or right around the corner, you need a strategy to help make sure you have enough saved and invested to do and see and experience what you want most. It's time to make sure your money is working for you. It's been more than a year now that I've been working with the planners from Edelman Financial Engines as the host of the Everyday Wealth podcast. I am a fan of their holistic approach, the fact that they don't just look at your investments, but at your whole life. You can request a complimentary wealth checkup at planefe.com/hermoney. We are back with Grace Puma and Christiana Smith-Shee, authors of the new book, career forward. We talked a little bit about the gender wage gap. You've got an alarming couple of statistics in the book. One of them says that over the course of her lifetime, the average woman worker loses more than $530,000 because of the gender wage gap. And the average college-educated woman loses even more, nearly $800,000. What are your favorite strategies to make sure that you are not a statistic in this way?
I'll start and then Grace can add because I think we both feel very strongly about this. The first important thing to do, and Grace has already noted it, is to understand what fair compensation looks like for the role that you've got at any point in time. You can also talk to your colleagues, right? This is environmentally specific. You got to realize what's appropriate. But I can tell you, certainly in consulting, the associates would share their comp, right? The partners, not necessarily, but the associates would share their comp. Whatever it is, we want to make sure that you know at any point in time, at the least once a year, where's the market going for the kind of work that I do? And understand where you are relative to that, because sometimes your scope might be bigger than a typical, I don't know, financial analyst. Maybe you're also doing recruiting. Maybe you're also spending some time on other HR tasks. Maybe you're actually helping with strategic planning in addition to the analytics of your job. Whatever it is, we want to make sure that you stay current with where the market is.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. So knowledge is power. Be informed and be pragmatic to understand what the market offers. However, there's another aspect. When we think about high potential or highly driven women, people with a lot of capacity will likely be asked to do more and more in companies. And that's just fact. And it's really a positive thing because you can gain a lot of capability and what we talk about is professional equity. However, when it comes to salary and compensation, it's really important to be aware of job scope. If your job scope becomes much greater than what you were basically being hired and being paid to do, and I've had this happen once in my career, and what I did is I very pragmatically documented what I was currently doing, what contributions I was making, and how my scope had grown, and could approach your company in the right way to say, hey, you know what, love the opportunity, appreciate it, but my job was X, and now it's really X, Y, and Z. Can you take a look at that? Can you reevaluate it to market? And in those situations, it was evaluated. And so I would encourage people to be aware of job scope change and how you can approach it in the right way with the facts to make sure you're fairly compensated.
I think a lot of people understand what you're saying in theory, but lack the words. Are those the words that you prefer to use? Is it, can you look at how my job scope has changed and evaluate it to market? That's what you said. Or are there other magic words?
Your question's a very interesting one. By saying, I would like you, or can you look at my job scope because it's changed? Yes, I think that's the right way to say it. But it's being said with the knowledge that you understand and have documented what changes happen. It's not like, hey, I just think I should be paid more. It's, hey, I used to do X, my scope of responsibility is now Y. And by the way, that's gone to contribution. And by asking, you're not being submissive to say, I'd like you to look at this. You're being politically wise to say, I'd like you to look at that. But by just asking, they understand. You understand what the actual fair value is in the market already.
What if the scope has not changed? What if the market has shifted around the scope? Same deal?
Same deal, but again, based in facts, right? You should always be aware externally, no matter where you are, of what fair compensation is and where the market's moving, whether it's a scope change or whether it's a market movement. But you lead with facts in a very non-emotional way to say, I understand this type of work now is actually competitively at X, or I'd like you to look at that. And that nobody really takes that with the right approach in a negative way.
Well, and I would also say really early in your career, less of an issue, right? What I would say is important early in your career is negotiating when you're getting the job offer so that you get the most you can. We have this quote in the book from Bozema St. John who says, start with the big number and then work down because you'll never go past it. That's for sure. The big number is going to look very different when you're a 22-year-old looking for your first job. But definitely later in your career, when you start to have managerial responsibilities or you start to have just broader scope of your role, that's when it really matters for you to stay close to where the market is. So that it may not even be a question of you asking the company to look, but you may be able to say to your boss, to your manager, hey, I took a look. It's been a year since we talked, and I know we're talking about my performance now. So when it's appropriate, I'd like to talk about my comp. Because I took a look at sort of where my scope has changed and I can talk to you about what's been added. and what I think might be time to look at from a compensation point of view. And that's the way you can also open the conversation from a point of knowledge, from a point of, hey, I took a look. And I'll give you one very recent story. My niece is at manager level. Her company's going through a restructuring. She is going to take over responsibility for another group. Not huge, but it's another group of people that when they first put her in the manager role was not part of the scope. At the moment of restructuring, it's not going to be a good time to talk about, hey, I think I should get paid more but I said to her, in 6 months, in 12 months, whenever your review is, take a look at and write down so that it's very clear and crisp what has been added to the role that you now play versus the year before. And have a conversation with them about what you think that means from a compensation point of view. And she was like, yes, I hadn't thought to do that. I knew now wasn't the right time, but I hadn't made myself a mental note that, hey, but 6-12 months from now, I should have that conversation.
Absolutely. As we wrap this up, the further you climb up the ladder of any corporation, the more likely you are to be one of fewer women in the room. We know on average, women make up about half of the workforce. They only hold 25% of senior executive positions at companies in the United States. Once you're one of those women, how do you handle that? How do you fight back against being the woman perspective in the room and be just a smart perspective?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. I think there's several things to consider with that. One is be confident that you're in that room for a reason and stay focused on being able to contribute as part of that team of men, that team of women. So the more you're able to establish your credibility with your contributions, with your conversations in that room, the more you're able to do that, the more your professional equity will make that gender situation much more opaque. So I think that's one point I would put out. The other one is advocate for other women in the room. And sometimes you can do that in the most subtle ways. If you see a woman in the room that's being spoken over, instead of saying, hey, she's just trying to say something, you can say, hey, Sue, I think Sue had a point. What were your thoughts, Sue? And you can pull other women into the room so that they can be comfortable engaging and participating as well. So sometimes it's less about calling out unintentional or intentional bad behavior, and it's more about getting the women in the room at the table able to engage and making enough space so that the overall team succeeds.
Yeah, I would add, I think people of color or people who stand out because of gender orientation or you name it, will all recognize this feeling, which is being the other, being the only, being unique. And it's part of why when we were writing this, we realized it had such a broader application. It is still women in many instances when you get to the very top, but a lot of us have that feeling of standing out because you don't fit in at different points. And my strategy has also been to find allies so that they are also speaking up and supporting you in the room. I worked for one of the most well-known athletic brands in the world. I was not a sporty girl, and I was working with a bunch of guys, and this is how the company set up, so that at lunch you can go play basketball, you go play hoops, and you go kick the ball around on the soccer pitch, and you do all these sporty things. And I loved watching sports, but I didn't grow up with that. I grew up with ballet and violin. So I had to find the guys who in the room, if we were talking about something and everybody was looking at me to be the woman point of view, who would also jump in. And I had very explicit conversations as I built friendships across the executive team about people making sure that my colleague didn't have to be the only guy talking about something when it was a Black employee, and I didn't have to be the only one talking about something when it was a woman. And kind of creating some of those allyships, I think, also helped because it makes your colleagues realize that they're on the hook to help women succeed too. It isn't just the girl in the room, so to speak.
Fascinating conversation all around. Grace Puma and Christiana Smith-Shi, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks, Jean.
Where would you like us to go to learn more about the book?
Go to our website, careerforwardbook.com, and any bookseller that you normally go to should also have a copy of the book on ebook, on audiobook, or hard copy.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And before we get to our mailbag, I want to just remind everyone, the Her Money podcast is now on YouTube. Go us. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel at Her Money to get notified about all our new episodes and let us know what you think about them in the comments.
Before we dive into our mailbag, a quick word from our sponsors.
Did you know that women are more likely to outlive our retirement savings than men are? It's true. In fact, it's our biggest financial fear. And this savings gap is where the Parity Flex multi-year guaranteed annuity available from Gainbridge comes in. If you aren't familiar with annuities, the concept is essentially that you take a chunk of money and you turn it into a paycheck that you can start drawing on when you want to, next year or next decade. The Parity Flex multi-year guaranteed annuity caters to women's unique retirement needs. And with a guaranteed lifetime withdrawal benefit and flexible withdrawals, it's like having a paycheck for life. Plus, you'll also get guaranteed returns at 5.95% APY, making the Parity Flex multi-year guaranteed annuity the perfect complement to your existing portfolio. So who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for important information. This is a paid endorsement. So we are officially in the winter slump season. Yep, it's that time of year when all of the fun winter season holidays are over, and I am just waiting. In fact, I am praying for some warm weather. Around this time of year, the only things that I want to cook are big batches of soup, warm casseroles, lots of pasta and baked potatoes, and I always make sure that I get all the ingredients I need to master my recipes while getting cash back on my purchases with Ibotta. Ibotta is a free app. It gives you the most cash back every single time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you are at least trying to beat inflation no matter what you're purchasing. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying Ibotta by using the code HERMONEY when you register. So go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back. Use the code HERMONEY. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code HERMONEY. And we're back. My daughter, Julia Chatsky, is joining us for our mailbag, and she's having a moment. Jules, I'm so sorry. You want to tell everybody what happened?
I just spilled coffee all over my desk, carpet, monitor, etc.
I know. We asked you to do a mic check. Pull your mic a little closer, and the world just exploded.
Yep, and there goes my coffee.
Once we're done recording, coffee's on me. So there you go. All right, let's get into it.
Our first question today comes to us from Megan. She writes, "Hi, Jean. I'm considering re-entering the professional workforce after time away raising a young child. Can anyone point me to some current examples of resumes, particularly for support positions in higher academia? Would you recommend I use ChatGPT or another AI service to tailor my resume to keywords posted for each job I apply to? Many thanks, Megan."
So, Megan, this is such a fun question. First of all, examples of resumes to answer your first question are just all over the internet. There's a site called Higher Ed Jobs. Various universities also have examples of resumes. You want to be careful to distinguish between an academic resume, a CV, which often goes on 4 pages, and a support job resume, which really should be limited to a page. A lot of people are using AI. A lot of people are using ChatGPT to help them build their resumes. The folks at resumebuilder.com did a survey and found nearly half of their respondents say, yeah, we're doing it. We're using ChatGPT to write our resumes and write our cover letters. And they're seeing a higher response rate when they do that, in part because these AI tools are particularly good at making sure that your resume and your cover letter are populated with those keywords that we know that the computerized search tools that often do the first pass on a resume are looking for. So they can help you get past that initial applicant tracking system.
Are they perfect, though? No, they're not perfect. And if you've used ChatGPT at all, you know that your success with that tool really comes down to the prompts that you give to ChatGPT. So there are some prompts that you can use to really give yourself a leg up. You can tell ChatGPT that you're going to send it a job description and a resume, send the one you have, and ask ChatGPT to optimize your resume for that particular job. You can tell ChatGPT specifically to write bullet points for job ABC, higher education support position, and to include metric-based achievements. You can ask ChatGPT to surface the keywords that you need to know. There is a resume expert on TikTok. Her name is Madeline Machado, and she advises people to try this prompt. Can you create a resume for whatever the job you're looking for with measurable results tailored to this job description? And then you want to go through, you want to proofread the resume, you want to make sure it is honest. Sometimes we know this about ChatGPT, sometimes it makes stuff up. So make sure that everything that it includes in your description matches what you've actually done in your life. And then one last tip, you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Go back and make sure that your LinkedIn profile is also consistent with what you want to do. Once you start looking for a job, everybody who looks at you is going to look at your LinkedIn. So you just want to make sure that it lines up. And good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Jules, have you talked to any friends who are using ChatGPT to make resumes?
Not to make resumes, but I use ChatGPT. I feel like it's more and more common. I use it really as like a brainstorming tool. So if I'm like unable to just get my creative juices flowing, sometimes I'll write it a prompt like, what are B2B partnerships for a hotel that would be cool around Valentine's Day?
Jules, I do the same thing, sort of. I mean, in my world, whenever you're going to write a story, you are supposed to look at the past stories that have been published on the same topic. I've been using ChatGPT to sort of compile the information on topics that has been previously published so that I can just see what's out there. But it's helpful. All good. Just make sure to keep it honest.
Exactly.
Let's go to the next one.
Our next question comes from Deneen. She writes, "Hello, Jean. I saw a TikTok today about how my taxes will increase, so we will be taxed more for 2023. I file jointly with my husband. Is there anything we can do to minimize how much we pay by contributing an additional amount to a 401k, Roth IRA, etc.? My husband is a school employee. He pays into a pension every 2 weeks, so didn't know if that would matter. Thanks for your advice, Deneen."
Deneen, thank you so much for the question. You are absolutely perfect with your timing because we are in the middle of tax season. And although a lot of the moves to shave money off your tax bill have to be completed by the end of the calendar year, there are still a few things that you can do this year. And yes, you are right on top of them. If you contribute money to a deductible IRA, you essentially lower your adjusted gross income. And although it sounds as if your husband has already maxed out his ability to do that, you don't sound like you have. And whether or not you're earning an income, because you have a spouse who's earning an income, you're eligible to make what we call a spousal IRA contribution. The limits this year on IRA contributions are $6,500 if you're under 50, $7,500 if you're 50 or older. So if you have the money to do that, do it. It'll reduce your adjusted gross income and that will shave money off your tax bill. Two other things to look at. Most people these days take the standard deduction and don't itemize on their taxes. But itemizing can be worth it if your expenses add up to more than the standard deduction, which for 2023 is going to be $27,000. $1,700 for most married couples filing jointly. It'll be half that for single people. And if you, for whatever reason, had a big charitable donation last year or a big medical expense last year, you should look into whether or not it's worth it for you to itemize. Finally, it's not clear to me from your letter what you do, but if you work from home and you have a workspace that you use exclusively for business, you may want to look into taking the home office deduction. It's been largely simplified and pretty easy to sort of compute by a formula about how much you can take. But you're right, the IRA should be at the top of the list. Go ahead, make that contribution, and then just keep putting money into it automatically so that you're going to be on time for your contribution for next year. And if you have any other money-related questions, we'd love to hear from you. Just send them our way by emailing us at mailbag@hermoney.com or leave a comment on our YouTube page. Yes, we're on YouTube. You can find us at Her Money on YouTube. Thanks so much, Jules.
Thanks for having me.
And now we're going to take a quick break.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We are back with your money tip of the week. Yep, it's that time again. It's tax time. Whether you are dreading doing your own taxes or ready to get it over with, you should know that the IRS is rolling out a new direct file online portal, which walks a taxpayer through the return filing process and submits the 1040 to the government. It's free, which is great because it may mean that you don't have to pay for tax software this year. But there are a few things that you should know. First of all, many people will not be able to use it this year. For the 2024 rollout, the IRS is testing its new system on a select group of Americans in a select batch of states to study how smoothly it goes, how well the customer service works, and whether the returns are more likely to contain errors before deciding if they should go bigger. But it could be positive news for the future as a possible first step toward building a government-run alternative to TurboTax and H&R Block. Let's not forget, TurboTax paid a $141 million settlement in 2022, where they agreed to suspend TurboTax's free ad campaign because when many users got to the end of the process, they realized it actually wasn't free for them. As of right now, Direct File will be most useful for people with very simple taxes. Think recent grads working a first job, retirees living mainly on Social Security benefits, and the plus side is this time it will be completely free. If you're looking for an alternative to TurboTax this year, something that is a little less expensive, check out TaxSlayer, where there is a simple version that you can also use for free. And check out our newsletter at hermoney.com/subscribe on what you'll need to prepare your taxes this year.
Thank you so much for joining me today on Her Money. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our show at Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review. We love hearing what you think. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Edelman Financial Engines. Her Money is produced by Haley Pascalides. This show is mixed and mastered by CDM Sound Studios. Our music is provided by Video Helper, and our show comes to you through Megaphone. Check out our new podcast, How She Does It with Karen Feinerman, for intimate cocktail party style conversations with today's most talented female leaders. This podcast is also part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. You can find us and other shows like us at airwavemedia.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk soon.